Haxamea. And I pray everybody's been having a blessed feast. I got a message today that's called The Covenant of Faith of Abraham. The Covenant of Faith of Abraham. And we know that Christianity states the law is nailed to a cross. The Old Testament is done away with. And yet, the problem with that is 43% of the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, is direct quotes, not even, you know, like assuming it, but direct quotes from the Tanakh or the Old Testament. So if you do away with the Tanakh or the Old Testament, as many people call it, you have to do away also with at least half of the New Testament. So in the New, the question was never whether the Torah was abolished, but whether the works of law, as we're going to get into today, the works of law forgive sin, or is it by grace alone? That is the question. It's never, should we follow the Torah? Never once is that ever asked. Was Abraham rewarded for his works, or was Abraham rewarded for his faith in Yahweh? So we're going to get into that today, and I hope that this message will explain that very carefully. Because it's really, really important, because the New Testament is the covenant of faith. And as we're going to see, Abraham was part of that covenant of faith and what it means today. And if you don't understand it, you really can't be part of the new covenant. Genesis 11 and verse 10 says, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was a son of 100 years and fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. So we see that Adam, Noah is a descendant, direct descendant of Adam, and Shem is a direct descendant of Noah. Drop down to verse 24, and Nahor lived 29 years and fathered Terah. So we see all the lineage going on here. And after he fathered Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and he fathered sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. And Sarai was barren, there was no child to her. And Terah took his son Abram, and Lot, Abram's son, his grandson, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and he went forth into Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and lived there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died. We'll stop over there. So we see that, like I said, Noah's the descendant of Adam, Shem is the descendant of Noah, and Abraham is the descendant of Shem. I want to start by that because lineage is extremely important, and it's all about lineage, at least in the first covenant. Genesis 12, and Yahweh said to Abram, go out from your land and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse the one despising you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abram went out, even as Yahweh had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was a son of 75 years when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all their substance that they had gained and the persons they had gotten in Haran. And they went out into the land of Canaan, and they came into the land of Canaan. So this is an important scripture because this is the beginning of Yahweh working with Abram, right? And Abraham left in faith. He believed in Yahweh. He never questioned why. You know, when we see it, Abraham got up and walked. Abraham got up and walked. Many times I talk about in Babylon the three plans, you know, for exiting Babylon. The Abraham plan, the Israelite plan, and then the Lot plan. And I say the Abraham plan is, when Yahweh gives you a commanding, you follow it, you're blessed for it. And you get to, you know, Abraham got to go with all of his servants and his money. He was a very, very wealthy man and everything because he believed in faith. But he never questioned. He never asked Yahweh, why? Why am I going? Where am I going? What is the story? It just, Yahweh said to him to do it, and he believed. And that's what faith is. You know, faith is believing in Yahweh, what he says. So now we go to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. So right off the bat, the very first deed he does here, is it by his work of leaving that he's being justified, or is it by the faith in Yahweh? Because if he didn't have the faith in Yahweh, leaving wouldn't have meant nothing. If he left out of fear, if he left looking for blessings, if he left because he's thinking that somehow he's going to get something from it, no, that would mean nothing. So if the deed is not done through faith, the deed really doesn't mean anything. But in this case, it was done through faith, and the deed was the evidence of his faith. Genesis 15. And after these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, Genesis 15:1, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward will increase greatly." And Abram said, "Adonai Yahweh, what will you give to me? I am going childless, and the son of the inheritance of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." Right? So he has no heir at all. And he's thinking this promise that's given by Yahweh is going to be to his servant that's there. And Abram said, "Behold, you have given no seed to me. And lo, the son of my house is inheriting of me. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir," you know, Eleazar the servant, "but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now at the heavens and recount the stars, if you are able to recount them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be." So I did a message on this a couple of years ago showing this. This is the Maseroth. That in the Maseroth, if you've never heard the message, go and listen to it. It's an important message that explains about this. But basically, Yahweh takes him out and he shows him the Maseroth, the 12 constellations on the ecliptic circle, you know, that's coming, you know, around the earth. And he explains to him the plan of salvation in these 12 constellations. And through those constellations is the plan of salvation through Yeshua, you know, who's the son of Elohim. But Yahweh is telling him that the Messiah that's going to be the one that's going to fulfill that plan of salvation through those 12 constellations is going to come from his loins. So it's amazing. He's telling him, recount the stars, look at the stars, and he's telling him the story. And then in verse 6, what happens? Verse 6, he says, "And he believed in Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So there's no questions that Abraham asked. You know, he sees he doesn't have a child. He didn't ask, well, how am I going to have a child, or how is this going to work? But yet the same way Yahweh shows him the plan of salvation, he doesn't doubt that plan. And then he says, the seed that's going to be born from you is going to be the fulfillment of that, right? So he believes, and it's accounted to him for righteousness. So again, the covenant of faith, no questions asked. Nothing that Abraham did except believe at this point. And then verse 7. And he said to him, "I am Yahweh who caused you to come out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land to inherit it." And he said, "Adonai Yahweh, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said to him, "Take for me a heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, even a nestling." And he took all these for him, and he divided them in the middle, and he laid each piece opposite its neighbor. But he did not divide the bird. And again, if you're new and you're just listening to this, go and listen to the message about the blood covenant. There's 9 steps to the ancient blood covenant. So we know he's going in covenant here because the third step is cutting the animal in half. And then you go back to back and you walk through the pieces and you come out facing each other. And then you give the vows of the covenant. So he tells them to do that, to split the animals for the covenant. And he took all these for him, and he divided them in the middle, and he laid each piece opposite its neighbor, but he did not divide the bird. The bird, you wouldn't, you just divide the animal. And then if we drop down to verse 17, "And it happened as the sun had gone down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a torch of fire passed between those pieces." So Abraham didn't walk through those pieces because he knew he couldn't make covenant with Yahweh, because he knew he wasn't faithful. He was believing in Yahweh that Yahweh would make the covenant and Yahweh would do it, as we're going to see. So he wasn't believing on his own works. He wasn't believing on his own deeds that was going to solidify the covenant with Yahweh. Not at all. He wouldn't even walk through the pieces. But who walks through the pieces? A smoking furnace and a torch of fire. Yahweh and Yeshua walk through those pieces and make the covenant. And Abraham joins the covenant that Yahweh and Yeshua is doing in faith. Not believing in his work, but believing in the promise that Yahweh made in verse 5. And the promise of the Maseroth, and the promise of the Messiah that's going to come, and that he's going to do salvation to the world through that. There's a book by E. Bollinger that was written in the late 1800s about this, Witness in the Stars. It's an awesome book that tells all about the Maseroth in this, if somebody would want to look that up later. But that's the whole. And then in verse 18, in that day Yahweh cut a covenant with Abraham, saying, I have given this land to your seed, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So there's many covenants in Scripture, right? This is a land covenant he's cutting with him here. We know there's the Levitical covenant, there's the Sabbath covenant, there's the marriage covenant, there's the first covenant with the Israelites, there's the new covenant. So there's many covenants he's cutting here, the land covenant that has ramifications not only to his seed, to Isaac and Jacob, and then also to the tribes of Israel, but us today as descendants of that, as we're going to see. So Abraham didn't walk through the pieces. He believed in faith in Yahweh and Yeshua doing it. Genesis 3:15, if we just go back there for a second, because this is the promise, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, and Yahweh said in Genesis 2, I'm not going to go there, in the day you eat of that fruit, you will die. So now, no longer were they going to live forever, but their genetics changed. They're going to die, right? And we know in that first millennium, in that first 1,000 years, they did die. Adam was 930 years when he died. But what happens? As soon as the sin comes, and what is the sin? Lack of faith. It's the total opposite. Their sin was not eating of a fruit. Their sin was not believing in Yahweh. They believed in the lie of Satan over Yahweh. How many times today do even believers do that? Believers have fear. When you have fear, you're not believing Yahweh in faith, right? Right? Because fear is perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love is Yahweh's character. So when people fear things, when they make decisions, sometimes people will be Sabbath keepers and they'll have to work on Saturday and they'll go out and do it because they fear of losing a job. Again, you're disqualifying yourself from the new covenant, which is a covenant of faith, when you're making these decisions and you're not believing in Yahweh. But Abraham believed. He believed in Yahweh, and it was accounted him for righteousness. So 3:15 says, Yahweh says to, he's talking about the serpent to Hava, Eve, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. This is the very first messianic scripture, right? He's talking about Yeshua coming, because it's really, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits, right? So it's a fight with Yahweh against Satan, and Yeshua is coming, and that's what he's going to do, where Yahweh will allow Satan to bruise his heel. When he was on the tree of crucifixion, the nail went through his heel, but Yahweh will crush his head as he did. You crush the head, and he destroyed and defeated Satan through the crucifixion. And resurrection. So we see this. Yahweh told Abraham this promised seed would be his loins. So we know this. We know that from Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve, maybe I'll just go there for a second. When Genesis 4, right, comes, and it says, and the man knew his wife Eve, Hava, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man, Yahweh. She thinks this is the promised seed, right? That's why she calls him Cain, because Cain means redeemer. It means to purchase, to redeem, to buy back, right? So she's thinking that's it. It's not. And then, like I went through this before, if you look at the names of the first 10 people in the genealogy in Genesis 5, from Adam to Seth, going on to Enos, and it literally says something to the effect that, you know, man has seen mortal sorrow, but the blessed Elohim, you know, will come down and he will basically save him, right? He will bring the promised rest that's there. Meaningly, he will bring the millennium. So all of these people knew it. And even that's why even Noah's father called him Noah Rest. He thought he was this Messiah. So it's no secret there. So Abraham, who's coming from that, that's why I wanted to show you that Adam, out of the loins of Adam was Noah, out of the loins of Noah was Shem, and out of the loins of Shem is Abraham. So Abraham knows that there's a Messiah coming. They all knew it. This is something from the very first beginning. From the fall of man, they know that Yahweh had preached there'd be redemption of man. So now, for Abraham to be told that this Messiah is going to come from him, from his loins, and he's thinking the same as Adam and Eve thought. He's not thinking it's several thousand years later. He's thinking it's going to be the seed that's going to come right there. So Abraham believes it. Abraham believes it, and it's accounted for him for righteousness. So he didn't doubt it whatsoever. He believes that this is going to happen. Then Genesis 17. Then we get to Genesis 17. And it says, when Abram was 99 years old. So think about it now. This is 75 when he's leaving Haran. He's 99 now. At 75, he's thinking he's too old. How on earth at 75 am I going to have a child? My wife is too old to bear children. And now 24 years go by and it still didn't happen. And yet Abraham still believes. And I think sometimes, especially in the world we live in today, where we're in this, you know, world where everything is right away. Everything is right away. Whatever you want, you don't have to wait for anything. Even sometimes, you know, with sending out Bibles, right? People don't realize that we're sending out Bibles, and my 86-year-old dad, you know, who's non-converted, is doing all the mail and doing all the orders and doing all this stuff. And we're not a business. We're not a warehouse. We don't have credit cards and all this stuff. People write almost every week asking, do you take credit cards? You know, that it's simple. We get an order. We send it out to one of the brethren who's sending them out for us. You know, bless him for that. And then it goes out. It takes about, you know, anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks to a month. And people get mad sometimes. They want it right away. People write me, you know, in the day and age we're living in, you should be able to do this. No, I shouldn't. No, I don't have to do this. You know, this is what it is. People want everything right away. And Yahweh, you're not learning patience by that. We're living in a time when we look at Abraham's example. Yahweh comes to him, appears to him physically, and tells him, you know, that he's going to have this child. And then 24 years go by, and nothing ever happened yet. And Abraham didn't doubt. And we have to start thinking about this when we're looking, you know, at Hebrews 6. It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith, right? Because that's why it is. Because you can't do it in your time frame. Faith is not doing it in your time frame. Faith is believing Yahweh unconditionally in whatever his time frame is, you know. And we see sometimes Yahweh's time frame, like Daniel 9, that time frame was 490 years was that time frame in that prophecy. Sometimes in the end time, it's one generation and we're waiting for still that. But we have to realize that we're not to put time frames on Yahweh. So chapter 17 is when it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be perfect, right? And I will make my covenant between me and you and will increase you very greatly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spoke with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations, right? So he every time he comes to Abraham, he's revealing a little bit more about the covenant. He's revealing a little bit more of Abraham's greatness in this because of his belief, and Abraham's still never doubting. He's not saying, well, you said this 24 years ago. You know where? I don't see anything. I haven't gotten anything yet. And your name no longer shall be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you very fruitful exceedingly. And I will give you for nations, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim to you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession that I will be their Elohim. We saw this in chapter 15, right? And Elohim said to Abram, you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it will be a token of the covenant between me and you. Okay? So this is what we're seeing here. The covenant is not circumcision. Circumcision is a token of the covenant. It's a sign of the covenant. Why? Because the covenant is with his seed. Because the promise is not to Isaac. The promise is that somewhere down the line, the Messiah that I went over with you with the Maseroth, the Messiah of Genesis 3:15, the Messiah that's in those 12 constellations of the Maseroth will come from your loins. And how will people know? How will you know? Because circumcision is going to be that sign. It's going to be that token. That there is no covenant without the shedding of blood, right? So now this is a blood covenant. So every time a male is born, there'll be that token of blood and that sign of circumcision. So 1,000 years down the line, people will still know who is the seed of Abraham. Because they're going to be the ones that are circumcised. And that's why circumcision had to be the token of the first covenant. Because it had to be that, because it's through the promised seed. And it had to go from generation to generation within that seed. But as we'll see, once the seed came, there's no reason for circumcision anymore. So we see this, and it'll be a token. And a son of 8 days shall be circumcised among you, every male in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with silver from any son of a foreigner who is not of your seed. The child of your house and the purchase of your money circumcising must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for a perpetual covenant, right? It's going to be his seed. So that's the way they will know it, through that sign, through that token. It's not a covenant of circumcision. It's a token of the covenant. And an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, his soul will be cut off from his people. He has broken the covenant. Or my covenant. And Elohim said to Abraham, you shall not call your wife Sarai by her name Sarai, for Sarah shall be her name. Both mean princess, but the one shows she also be a mother of nations and kings. And I have blessed her and have also given to you a son from her. Yea, I have blessed her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Abraham's 99 years old, and he's hearing this. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall one be born to a son of 100 years, and shall Sarah bear a daughter of 90 years? So he's not doubting. He's just, it's comical to him. You know, like it's comical that he's thinking, wow, can Yahweh do anything, right? Here I am, 99 years old, he's 90, and he's going to do this, but he's not doubting it. He's laughing, actually in joy. You know, he's laughing that it's so comical that Yahweh can absolutely do anything. So Yahweh confirms the land covenant, gives circumcision as a sign or a token to the covenant. Each male that circumcised, the shedding of the blood, would show the physical sign of the lineage to continue to the Messiah. Very clear. So now let's go to chapter 18. And Yahweh visually appears to him, to Abram, by the oaks of Mamre. And he was sitting by the door of the tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And this is Yahweh and who? You know, Yeshua Yahweh, because no one has seen Yahweh the Father. So it's Yeshua Yahweh, and two men are with him, one on his right and one on his left. Probably Gabriel and Mikhail, right? Because they're his two messengers. We know that they're definitely cherubs, because in the next chapter, they're the cherubs that go to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy it. And he, Abraham, saw Abraham, and he ran to meet them from the entrance of the tent and bowed to the ground. And he said, so this is what Abraham says. He sees the three men there, one being Yeshua Yahweh, and he runs down and bows down to them and says, Yahweh, if now I have found favor in your sight, I beg you, do not leave from near your servant. How did he know that this man was Yahweh? How did he know it was Yeshua Yahweh? How? Because just four chapters before this, in chapter 14, he's meeting Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, who? Yeshua Yahweh. So how else would he know that? How else would he recognize that? Because he recognizes that Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, is Yeshua Yahweh. It's so clear. It's so evident, right? And we know there's two Yahwehs, because in chapter 19 and verse 24, It says, and Yahweh, Yeshua Yahweh, the one that was with Abraham on the earth, rained fire and brimstone from Sodom and Gomorrah, from Yahweh out of the heavens, the Father Yahweh. So clearly, there's two Yahwehs there. One is the one Abraham's seeing, and one is up in the heavens, who's raining down the fire and the brimstone. So then he says, he's asking him to stay there. And verse 5, and I will bring a bite of bread and will sustain your heart. Then you may pass on. For this is why you have passed over to your servant. And they said, do so as you have said. So this is why you have passed over. This is during Passover. We know also in Genesis 19, because actually in verse 3 of Genesis 19, he says, and he urged them, and they turned into him and came into his house. This is when Lot is trying to urge the cherubs to come in the house. And he made a feast for them, and he baked unleavened matzos, and they ate. So it's during the days of Passover and unleavened bread when this is happening, right? So Abraham goes, he tells Sarah to prepare 3 measures of fine meal. What is fine meal? It's because it's got to go through the sieve at least 9 times. Every time it goes through the sieve, it comes out finer. The same way as when we go through the baptism of fire. Every time we go through purification, we come out finer, we come out purer. And this is why in the sanctuary, you had to use fine meal. You couldn't use unfine meal. You had to keep purifying it through the sieve. Because every time it's purified, it comes out purer. And the same way with us, like I said, through the baptism of fire. Every time we go through one of those purifications, we come out more pure. And then Abraham goes and does these things, And then in verse 10. I'll start in verse 9. And they said to him, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, see in the tent. And he said, certainly I will return to you at the time of life. And behold, a son shall be to your wife Sarah. So it'll be about a year that this is going to happen. And Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent. And it was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were aged, going on in days, right? He's 99, she's 90. The custom as to women had ceased to be to Sarah. She couldn't bear children anymore. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after my old being old, shall there be pleasure to me, my master being old, right? And what does Isaac mean? She laughed. That's what the word Itzhak. And Yahweh said to Abraham, why has Sarah laughed at this? Saying, indeed, truly I shall bear, even I who am old. Is anything too difficult for Yahweh? At the appointed set apart time, I will return to you at the time of life, and there will be a son to Sarah. And Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from there and looked on the face of Sodom, and Abraham was going with them to send them away. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? And Abraham shall surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And why is this? Look in verse 19. For I have known him, so that whatever he may command his sons in his house after him, even they may keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice, to the intent that Yahweh may bring on Abraham that which he has spoken. Wow, so this is really, really important. Why did he pick Yahweh beside the fact of Abraham's faith? Because he knew that Abraham would continue his seed in the faith. And that's a really, really important. He knew that he would teach his sons, and they would teach their sons, his grandsons. And when you think about this, this is really, and I don't know why, but it is an oddity that if you look throughout all of Scripture, very, very rarely do you find the son of somebody important being strong and in the faith, right? Moses' son, was he the one that took over? No, it was Joshua that took over. Peter's son in the New Testament. Does Peter's son take over the New Testament congregation? No, you don't even hear about Peter's son, or Jacob's son. It's a very, very odd thing. And if you look at the kings where you do see son to son to succession, almost every king was evil. Of Israel, the kings of Israel, everyone, there's not one good king of Israel that was totally righteous. And of Judah, there's a handful that were good, Hezekiah and Josiah and a few of them. But does it go from son to son? Not really. And a matter of fact, Josiah comes from one of the most evil kings, who is Manasseh. And actually Hezekiah, when he's asking for more time from Yahweh to give him more time because he was going to die at 39, and Yahweh says, I'll give you 15 years, what happens? Manasseh is born from there. So if he never asked for that time, you wouldn't have had that most evil king. So there's something very odd here. David, King David, you know, the most righteous person. He's going to be third in the kingdom of under Yahweh the Father and Yahweh Yeshua the Son. And yet King David's sons all went by the wayside. So, you know, I did a message, I think it was 2 years ago, where have all the fathers gone and where have all the mothers gone and where have all the children gone? Great messages to listen to again, because it's really true that why is it that some of the most righteous men in the Bible, their very sons never followed within the faith? You know, why is that? But Yahweh says one of the reasons he's picking Abraham beside his faith was the fact that he knew, like he said, for I have known him so that whatever he may command his sons and his house after him, even they may keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice to the intent that Yahweh may bring on Abraham that which he has spoken to him. And it's important because the lineage has to continue here. And if Isaac goes in the wrong way or Jacob goes in the wrong way, and a matter of fact, over here you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph. Four really, really righteous generations. I don't know if you see that anywhere else in the Bible. If you can find four generations in a row where the son, the father, the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson were righteous. But this is the promise that's confirmed, and Abraham's obedience was due to his faith, right? So wow, that faith went a long way. It went to his son and grandson and even great-grandson. And even today, you know, the faith of Abraham to all of us. That's why in Israel, when I bring groups there, I love going to Beersheba. And we go to the well that most likely Abraham dug with his own hand. The very well there. And that's the sign of the covenant, you know, because well, the word for oath and the word for seven, Sheva, you know, he dug seven wells. It's a play on words, you know, of the well of the oath, the well of the oath. And It's just interesting that Abraham, even today, in all the religions, whether it's Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Abraham is the father of all these nations, like he said here, because of his faith. And now we're going to get the ultimate test. Now comes the ultimate test. Genesis 22. So Yahweh still had to test him one more time, right? He's got to go through that sieve one more time. He's got to be purified one more time through that sieve. And this is going to be his baptism of fire that's going to come from here. Genesis 22. And it happened after these things, the Elohim testing Abraham said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I'm here. Now, what's interesting is, you know, as I'm saying this, the word here, it says that Elohim is testing Abraham. That word literally means a test for other people, not a test for himself. So I think at this point that Yahweh had tested him. This wasn't Yahweh thinking, okay, let me try one more time. Will he fail? Yahweh knew that he would pass the test. But this is going to be a parable. This test is going to be something now that's not really a test for Abraham. Abraham's going to do this, and it's going to be a parable for all time. Because this is going to be the ultimate parable of Yahweh the Father and the sacrifice of his son, Yeshua. And Abraham is going to be honored that he is going to be able to play this out with his son Isaac. So he's testing him, but it's not a test for Abraham, but a test for others, a parable for others. In verse 2, he says, and he said, now take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and there offer him for a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So this is kind of interesting, right? Because he says, take your son, your only son, Yahid, Isaac. At this point, he had another son, remember? He had Ishmael, was his son, from his loins still. But Yahweh says, take your son, your only son. Why? Because there was only one son of promise. So just like it says, the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, it's not the son of birth that's the son that matters. It's the son of promise, right? That's the son that matters. Because in the world today, there's billion, maybe 2 billion Israelites out there. But although your descendants be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. So it's not the son. And that's where our brother Judah gets it wrong. They think just because you're born Jewish, that's it. That's it. That you're a son of promise. Nothing can happen to you. And I've said many times to Jews and the rabbis there, what Bible are you reading? If you look at the Bible is the whole Bible, that the Tanakh from beginning to end is Yahweh putting out his hand all day to a disobedient and rebellious people. And still through his grace, putting it out day and night for thousands of years and then rejecting it. And then you finally come to the new covenant when Yahweh is going out to the world and allowing anybody of any race, of any color, of any creed, that if they're humble enough and they believe, and they believe in the Maseroth, they believe just like Abraham believed, they believe that Yahweh sent his only begotten son to this earth to die and pay the penalty of those sins because we have a corrupted nature and that we can't do it ourselves, that they would be able to join that covenant. And our brother hasn't gotten that yet. They haven't gotten it. But this is what it's about, right? That it's the son of promise. Even though he had two sons, Yahweh says, take your only son. Because the son of promise is the only one that matters. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two youths with him and his son Isaac. And he split wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which Elohim had said to him. And on the third day, right? On the third day, whenever you see that, it's the day of resurrection. So we see the parallel here to the resurrection. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham says to his young men, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there that we may worship and may return to you. Wow. So how could Abraham be telling them that they're both going to return when he knows that Yahweh said to kill him? Was he thinking he's not going to kill the boy? No. No, not whatsoever. Go to Hebrews 11 for a minute. Stay there, and we're going to be back in Genesis 22. But go to Hebrews 11 and verse 17. Hebrews 11 and verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham in his trial, right, in his baptism of fire, offered up Isaac, and he laid him on the altar, his only son, the only son of promise, whom he had received by promise, as to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, right? So here it is. Even though he knows that this seed, you know, and he doesn't know if it's Isaac, he doesn't realize it's going to be many generations, but he knows that this seed, that Isaac, is somehow the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, and he knows that Yahweh says to kill him. So he doesn't have any doubt in his mind. He doesn't ask Yahweh, why would I kill him if this is the son? No, he just goes and does it. And why does he do it? Look in verse 19. And he reasoned within himself that Elohim was able to raise him even from the dead. And because of this, Isaac was given him as a parable. Wow. There it is. That's the test. That's the parable of Genesis 22. It has nothing to do with Abraham's test. It has to do with Abraham being blessed to give this parable, that he was willing to take the promised seed and to kill him because he knew that Elohim was able to raise him up. Right? And exactly what was going to happen with Yeshua. I will not leave my Holy One in the grave to see corruption. Psalm 16 and verse 10 and 11. So, wow, here it is. Perfect parallel. And he does it, right? And Yahweh could have had him kill him. And then Yahweh could have raised Isaac. But that wasn't the point. Because Isaac was not the son of promises we're going to see. He was only a seed to the seed to the seed of the son of promise. So he didn't need him to kill him. He just needed it as a parable. And he did it perfectly, which is amazing. And that's why, go back a few verses, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. Wow. So when we look at this, right? Abraham believed in faith due to Yahweh's promise that if he killed Isaac, Yahweh would raise him up. And I think when we're looking at Hebrews 11:6, is impossible to please Yahweh without faith, it takes on a whole new meaning when you're looking at it from this standpoint. You know, to the point of literally taking this promised seed that he waited for 99 years, and he's ready to sacrifice that on Yahweh's altar only because Yahweh asked, and that Abraham had no doubt in his mind that Yahweh would fulfill his promise to him. Wow, that's faith. And what I ask is, understanding this, what are we holding back from the altar of Yahweh? Because when you hold things back to yourself, right? When you, he who loves brother, sister, father, mother, you know, anything before me is not worthy of me. Unless you take up your torture stake and even your very life, you cannot be my disciple if you put your life before his life. So this takes on a whole new meaning when we understand this. When you're looking at what Abraham did, having no doubt whatsoever, willing to sacrifice, he would have been the one. He didn't say, well, you know what? I'll leave Isaac there, and if this is really Yahweh's will, then Yahweh will have to kill him. No, he had the knife in his hand, and he was ready to kill him because he said, when it comes to faith, there's nothing that I will put before Yahweh. Absolutely nothing. So it's amazing. It really is amazing. Let's go back to 22 now and continue the story. Verse 6 of Genesis 22. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac. Just like Yeshua took the crossbeam, right? And he carried the crossbeam to his own crucifixion. Abram puts the wood of the burnt offering and lays it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire and the knife in his hand, and the two went together. And Isaac spoke to his father Abram and said, my father. And he said, behold, I am here. And he said, I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And what does Abraham say? And Abraham said, my son, Elohim will see for himself. Just like Abraham did not walk through the pieces, right? Yeshua and Yahweh walked through the pieces. He's saying, I'm not going to take it in my own hands. Elohim will see for himself. John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Elohim will see for himself. The lamb for a burnt offering, and the two of them went together. And they came to the place which Elohim had said to him. And Abraham built there the altar and arranged the wood. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the wood. And let's not forget now, Isaac is not 5 years old or 10 years old. Isaac is probably about 16 years old here from the word that's used for youth. You could tell this. So Abraham's 99, right? Or older than that. He's 99 when Isaac is born. He's like 115 now. So there's no way that Isaac couldn't have overpowered his father. But the same way that Yeshua willingly, right? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if there's another way, but not my will be done, but your will be done. Matthew 26:39. So the same way that Yeshua willingly went to the crucifixion to pay the penalty of our sins, so we don't have to feel guilty for that because he did it willingly, he wanted to. It's the same way that Isaac willingly allowed his father to tie him down there, knowing that he would have been the sacrifice. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar in the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the messenger of Yahweh, Yeshua, called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, I am here. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Elohim, and you have not withheld your son, your only one. Only son of promise, even though he had Ishmael from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram behind him was entangled in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Yahweh Yireh, so that it is said until this day, in the mount of Yahweh it will be seen. Yireh meaning Yahweh will see to it. And the messenger of Yahweh called to Abraham out of the heavens a second time. And he said, I have sworn by myself, declares Yahweh, that on account of this thing you have done, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, that blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the lip of the sea. And your seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have listened to my voice. So when he's saying in your seed, and like I said this before, we'll be getting into Galatians, the word seed, zera in Hebrew, it's always singular, but it can mean seed, meaning a whole group, like the seed of Israel, meaning that one group of Israelites, but many, many, many different Israelites, or it could mean one person. It can mean one seed, one person. And in this case, where he's saying in your seed, he's not meaning the whole nation of Israel. He's meaning one Messiah, as we'll see in Galatians. Shall all the nations of the earth be blessed? Because the parable of Yeshua coming as the son of Yahweh and dying for the sins of all, this is it. Wow. Genesis 22 is unbelievable. How can any Jew read this and not see the parable of Yeshua being the son of Yahweh and dying for him? So let's continue now. Abraham passes the ultimate test, the test of faith, right? So was it the deed? Was it the deed? What if he would have done that out of fear? What if he would have killed his son, you know, out of fear? Maybe out of jealousy. Maybe he's jealous because Yahweh said that seed is going to be it, and he's jealous, like Cain and Abel, right? So it's not the fact that he was just willing to kill his son. It's the fact he was willing to do it in faith. It's a matter that this act was not an act of self-righteousness. This was an act of faith. The act that he was doing was the evidence of his faith, right? And that's why it's a covenant of faith. It's not a covenant of deed. Because unless the deed is the evidence of your faith, the deed is only self-righteousness. So Abraham passes the ultimate test of faith. And my question now is, what is most precious thing to you? Like I said, spouse, children, parents, job, some people, their house, their security, their money, their IRAs, whatever. Would you sacrifice it on Yahweh's altar for full trust and faith in him? And sometimes we have to. Sometimes people don't want to. Like I said, that time where your boss comes and says, unless you work this Saturday, you're being fired. And you're making $150,000 a year. And you say, well, it's only one time. It's only one time. And I'll give the money. I'm not going to keep the money. I'll give the money to Yahweh. I'll give him all the money. It's like, Yahweh's not a prostitute. He doesn't need your money. He needs your faith. That's what he needs. He needs you to believe in him. And you can't do it your own way. You can't turn and go your own way. And what this shows us is whatever is most precious to you, we have to lay it on Yahweh's altar. That's faith. You know, like I said, but without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to him should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this takes a whole new meaning when you really understand Abraham and what he did here. Because it's a matter of believing he will reward you, not reward yourself. So if you're trying to hold on to something, and the love for a person, or the love for money, or the love for a job, or the love for anything is more important than your love for Yahweh and your faith in him, then it's not faith. Then it is not faith, right? Yahweh could have killed, he could have allowed Abraham to kill Isaac and then raise him up. But like I said, we hadn't seen the resurrection yet. Trust had to be in Yahweh to act, not Abraham. We all have to have the same faith as he did, and we'll all be rewarded together. Because go back now to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, right? Because up to now, yes, Yahweh did. The promise seed that he had was there. But look at all these promises that Yahweh gave to Abraham. He will be the father of many nations. Kings and all this stuff will come. That the land of Israel will be given to him. All the land to the Euphrates River. So it's even more than the land of Israel. It's all the land of Transjordan and the desert land there. Has that been given to Abraham yet? No, not so much as a grain of dirt has been given him. But verse 39 says, and having obtained witness through the faith, these all did not obtain the promise. Abraham has not received anything. Isaac has not received anything. Jacob and Joseph and all of them have not received anything. Why? Yahweh, having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us. Right? So now, if Abraham was over in Israel now as the king, and he was over there reigning, and all his children were reigning, and the 12 tribes were over the 12 pillars of the gates, then all of us would have nothing to doubt, because we'd say, all I have to do is be faithful, and I'll be there. I'll be over there, and I'll be in one of those gates and living there. But it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. We don't see Abraham did not receive his promise, neither did Isaac, neither did Jacob, neither did any of the sons of Israel, and neither did Peter. Neither did Paul, neither did any of the apostles, neither did the Waldenses, neither did the Paulicians, or the Ansabbatai, or the Anabaptists, or anybody else. Nobody has received it yet. We will all receive it together. Why? Because we have to show the same faith Abraham showed. That's the requirement. It's the covenant of faith, right? That's what it's based on. What is it when you repent of your sins? Be baptized and believe. Be baptized and have faith that Yeshua died for your sins and rose from the dead. And that's why I said on the Feast of First Fruit, Resurrection Day, why I love it so much. Because if he really rose from the dead, you have nothing else to worry about. Because you'll rise from the dead. That's what the word says. And people doubted all over the world. And in the world today, there isn't faith. They want faith in the system. They want faith in the government. They want faith in IRAs. They want faith in government checks that are coming out instead of faith in Yahweh. And sometimes, you know what? You just have to have faith. I know earlier on when we first, when Yahweh first brought us to Israel. And like I said, before we had our visa for years, we were coming in the country 3 months, going out for 3 months. We'd come at feast time. You know, we'd stay and then we'd leave. And the only thing we'd think about, because we had no money, was getting enough money to get back to Israel for the next feast. And you know what we would do? Yeah, I say that, I told this story many times. Yahweh had us find money in the streets. Pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters that turned into bills. And we were finding hundreds of dollars, which equivalent to hundreds of dollars every month, enough to pay the rent and enough to get back to Israel. We had that money in a cup, and as soon as we had that money, that's all that mattered. Getting to keep Yahweh's feast, that's all that we wanted to do, to be there and keep the feast with Yahweh. And I say the same today, you know, we're in a whole different time frame we're living in today. And all that, so nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Who would have thought just a couple of months ago we'd be sitting here quarantined, you know, under martial law all over the world at Passover time? Nobody would have even imagined this. You know, we knew something was coming, but we didn't know it was this. And that's why I say, wow, what a gift these things are. And in faith, I'm believing in faith that Yahweh will allow us to keep the feast this year in the wilderness again. You know, I'm believing it. And if there's any way I can get there, I'll be there. And if not, then whatever his will would be. But there's nothing more precious to me than what I need to grow now, these golden nuggets that I need to get to the next step in this plan of salvation. There's nothing that I'm going to hold back here and say, well, I better hold this back. Who knows? You know, I might need this for food later. Well, you might not even be alive the next day. Remember the man who took his barns and took them down and built bigger barns? Little did he know his life would end that night. And you have no idea if you'll be alive tomorrow. And that's why we have to make decisions from here on in until the day Yeshua's feet touch on the Mount of Olives in faith. We have to make these decisions in faith. Just like Abraham did in faith. Galatians 3. Now let's go to the New Testament. Because I think now, as we're thinking of this whole thing of the Torah being nailed to a cross and all this other stuff, I think we could understand it from a whole different perspective now, right? Because it was never, like I said in the beginning, the question was never, do we obey the Torah or not? The question is, is your sins forgiven through works of the law, animal sacrifices, and also the things you had to do? Because there had to be redemption. It wasn't just kill an animal. You had to give redemption. You had to give money. You had to do this. Are your sins forgiven through that or only through the blood of Yeshua? Only through his grace. That's the question. So now in Galatians 3, starting in verse 1. O you lacking exile Galatians, who bewitched you not to obey the truth to whom before your eyes Yeshua Messiah was portrayed before among you crucified? This only I desire to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, right? Or by hearing of faith? This is the question. Was it by the animal sacrifices and what you had to do through works of law to redeem yourself back to Yahweh through paying something back or doing something? Or was it simply by faith? Was it simply by believing in his grace that there's nothing you could do to earn it? It's only through the sacrifice of Messiah. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, do you want to complete yourself in the flesh? All of these vanities you endured. Oh, that it might not be for no purpose. Then he supplying the Spirit to you and working works of power in you. Is it by works of Levitical law or by obedience of faith? Even as Abraham, right? Now we can understand this better because we just went through this whole thing with Abraham. Even as Abraham believed Elohim and it was counted to him for righteousness. You must therefore know that those who trust in faith are the children of Abraham, right? Because if you're only doing a work, who knows what you're doing it for? Are you doing it for self-righteousness reasons? Or you're doing it, you know, because you don't want to owe something? Or you're doing it just to get what's on the other end of it? No, you have to believe in faith to be children of Abraham. Because Elohim knew in advance that the nations would be declared righteous through faith. He first preached to Abraham, as it is said in the Holy Scriptures, and you shall all the nations be blessed, right? So that the believers are blessed by Abraham, the faithful one. For those who rely on the works of the law, right, the animal sacrifices, and doing your own thing to pay the penalty of your sin, are still under the curse? For it is written, curses everyone who does not practice everything which is written in the book of the law. Why are they still cursed? Because the blood of bulls and goats can't forgive sin. And even if you stole and you go back and you redeem something four times, you still sinned. You still sinned. It's only by the blood of Messiah that can, under his grace, forgive that sin. So those who rely on the works of the Lord are still under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not practice everything written in the book of the Torah. And that no one is justified by the Torah before Yahweh is evident, because the righteous will live by faith. Why is no one justified by the Torah? Well, two reasons. Number one, the Torah can't change your heart. Like I said, we don't know the reason you're doing something. And number two is because we've already sinned. There's already a penalty there. So you've already broken the Torah. You're already under that death penalty. An eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. So you can't repay your own debt. It's impossible. But the Torah is not made by faith, but the man doing these things will live in them, right? It's the book of instruction. It's not the book to give you eternal life because everyone has broken it. It's the book of instruction on how to live after you've received eternal life. Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the Torah, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone having been hung on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Messiah Yeshua, right? He's the promised seed of the Masoreth. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's by believing in Yahweh that this is true, just like Abraham did. My brothers, I speak as a man, even though as a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man can reject it or change anything in it, right? Once it's signed, nothing can change. Now the promises which were made to Abraham and to his seed as a covenant, he did not say to your descendants as many, but to your descendants as one, that is Messiah. Remember what I said? Zerah, it can mean the whole nation or it can mean one. And he's saying very clearly, it's not through the nation of Israel that you're saved, your sins are forgiven. It's through the blood of one, through the Messiah, the one promised seed to come through Abraham. And this I say, that the covenant which was previously confirmed by Elohim and Messiah cannot be rejected and the promise nullified by the Levitical law that came 430 years later. Right? This is how we know it's not the whole Torah he's talking about, but the Levitical sacrifices. Because the Torah is there from creation. Right? Remember in Genesis, where Yahweh says to Abraham, why did he pick him? Because he kept his judgments, his Torah, and his commandments. So they're there with Abraham. But the Levitical law came at Mount Sinai 430 years later. So he's saying that the fact of the Levitical law, these sacrifices and these works of law that you had to do that were put there in the Levitical law, they can't nullify the promises of grace. Because these things never forgave one sin anyway. The blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sin. For if the inheritance is through the Levitical law, then it would not be as the fulfillment of promise, but Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then the Levitical law, right? Well, if it's by promise, why did they even have it? It was placed beside the Torah for the sake of transgressions, right? Because of the golden calf, because the human nature was evil, that Yahweh had to put something there until the time of Messiah. For the sake of transgressions until the seed should come, the seed of Yeshua, to whom it had been promised, given, being given by promise in a mediator's hand. Now a mediator does not represent one alone, but Elohim is Ikad. Then is the Levitical law against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid, Elohim forbid. For if a law had been given which were able to make alive, indeed righteousness would have been out of law. But the Torah can't change your heart. That's the problem, right? But the scripture locked all under sin, that the promise by faith of Yeshua Messiah might be given to the ones believing in the promised seed. It is through faith. It is a covenant by faith, right? And it was Abraham's faith that made him do the righteous deed. It's not the other way around. Drop down to verse 26. For you are all sons of Yahweh through faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many as were baptized into Messiah, you put on Messiah. There cannot be Jew nor Aramaean. There is no slave nor freeman. There is no male nor female. You are all one. We're all Echad, united in Messiah Yeshua. And if you were in Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise. So now that the Messiah came, he's the promised seed. We don't need circumcision anymore as a token. Because he's already come. He's already fulfilled it. So now, being buried with him in baptism, the baptism now is the new sign of the new covenant. Because when we're baptized in his name, We're being circumcised, like it says in Colossians, with a circumcision not done by hands. We're cutting off our evil deeds of the flesh. That's what's being circumcised. That's what's here. So, amazing, right? This is really, really amazing. No longer is circumcision necessary because Gentiles are grafted in through the blood of Messiah. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans, the fourth chapter. And see more of this. Romans 4, and I'm going to read 1 through 14. What then shall we say of our father Abraham to have found according to flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had reason to be proud, but not with Elohim, right? So now, again, is he talking about not keeping the Torah? Keeping the Torah? It has nothing to do with keeping the Torah. It has to do with how are we justified? And what does justification mean? Being made right before Yahweh. How do we become right before Yahweh? How do we become pure before him? Through the animal sacrifices and us making restitution, or only by the grace of Yeshua? What is it? Because remember, the temple is still standing here. So now people had to make a decision. Do they still go to the temple and do the sacrifice for a sin, or is it only through grace and Yeshua? That's what the question is. Never, ever once in all the New Testament do you ever see where it's, do we keep the Torah or don't keep the Torah? That's never even a question, because the Torah is Yahweh's character. It's while the temple is still standing and sacrifices are still going on, is it through the works of the law, the animal sacrifices, and the restitution you have to make, or is it only in grace, only by the grace of Yeshua? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had reason to be proud, but not with Elohim. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed Yahweh. He believed in faith before he saw the evidence. It wasn't after the child was born. It wasn't after Yahweh did it. He believed in faith beforehand. You know? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And that's why it's impossible to believe Yahweh without faith. Because what you're saying is you don't believe he could do what he's saying. But Abraham believed it 100%, was convicted 100%, and he knew that Yahweh was able to perform what he said he can do. And that's why it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to the one working, the reward is not counted according to grace, but according to debt. So if he was being blessed because of his work, then it's only what he deserved, you know, because it would be a debt. But to the one not working, but believing on him justifying sinners, right? Because every man is a sinner, including Abraham. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as also David says of the blessedness of the man to whom Elohim counts righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered, right? Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh will in no way charge sin. Is this blessedness then on the circumcision, only on the Israelites, or also on the uncircumcision, on the Gentiles? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it counted? Being in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not circumcision, but uncircumcision. Because remember, when Yahweh came to Abraham, he was a Gentile. He was uncircumcised. There was no circumcision before that. And he made this promise to Abraham in uncircumcision. Excuse me. And he, Abraham, received a sign, a token of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith while in uncircumcision, for him to be a father of those believing through uncircumcision, for righteousness to be counted to them also. So while this is really profound, because today the Judaizers that want Gentiles to be circumcised when it's not the sign of the new covenant, it was a token of the first covenant, right? And what is he saying? Father Abraham, who wasn't a Jew, sometimes you tell Jews that Abraham was, what do you mean? Well, because Abraham had Isaac and Isaac had Jacob and Jacob had Judah, where the Jews came from. So there was no such thing as a Jew to Abraham. He was a Gentile, right? He was from the nations, and he was uncircumcised when Yahweh made covenant with him, and he gave him that sign, that token, because of his belief in Yahweh that the Messiah of Genesis 3:15 would come from his seed. When he saw the Mazaroth, and that circumcision was that sign until the Messiah came. Now the Messiah is here, you don't need that sign anymore, like we said, right? And a father of circumcision to those not of circumcision only, but also to those walking in the steps of the faith of the father of Abraham, right? So now it's not the seed anymore that they need of the cutting of the flesh and circumcision, But you need the faith of Abraham to be called a child of Abraham. For the promise was not through law to Abraham, to a seed, but to him to be the heir of the world, but through a righteousness of faith, right? A full conviction of belief and no doubt in Yahweh whatsoever. For if they who are of the law were heirs, faith would be made void and the promise of no effect, right? Because then it would be earned, but it's not. So isn't this so simple what Yahweh's talking about? It has nothing to do with the Torah being done away with or not. It has to do with how are we justified before him and how we have to show the same faith Abraham showed. Drop down to verse 16. On account of this, it is of faith that it be according to grace for the promise to be certain to all the seed, not to that of the law only, but also to that of the faith of Abraham, who is father of all of us. According as it has been written, I have appointed you a father of many nations before Elohim, whom he believed, the one making the dead live and calling the things that are not as if they were. He, against hope, believed in hope for him to become a father of many nations, according to what has been said. So shall your seed be, right? The seed of Abraham, Yeshua. And being about 100 years old, he never weakened in faith, even when he examined his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Like I said, remember, he's 75, which is old enough then to think, you know, what's going on here? I have a child at 75? He waited 24 more years and never doubted once that Yahweh can perform what he said. How many years are you in the faith? Are you in the faith 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, right? Have you ever doubted that Yahweh can perform what he said? It's not faith then. And he did not hesitate at the promise of Elohim as one lacking faith. But he was strong in faith and he gave glory to Elohim. And felt assured that what Yahweh had promised to him, he was able to fulfill. That's what faith is. Hebrews 11:6. And this is why you cannot please Yahweh if you're doubting that he can perform what he's saying. And every time we doubt, because you know what we're doubting now? We're doubting the kingdom. We're doubting his return. We're doubting our resurrection. We're doubting all these things. We're doubting the millennium. That's why we have to be looking forward. We have to be looking straight at all these things happening around us. Because it's going to get worse. We know it. There's going to be the death of close to 98, 99% of the people on the planet today will be dead. And so many things destroyed. But that has nothing to do. That's part of Yahweh's word. We have to believe in faith that we'll be resurrected and be part of the restoration of all these things. Because of this, it was also counted to him for righteousness. But it was not written for him only that it was counted to him, but also on account of us, to whom it is about to be counted to the ones believing on him who has raised our master Yeshua from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So do we unconditionally believe like righteous Abraham, right? Yeshua, who was delivered because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. He was raised, him who was without sin became sin so we could be the righteousness before the Father. We can only be justified before the Father, which means made right before him, be made pure before him by the blood of the Son. Nothing else can make you right. There's no work of the law that you can do to make you justified before Yahweh. Now, knowing that, do we do away with the Torah? No. Look in chapter 3, right before that, the last verse, what he says. Do we nullify the Torah by faith? Far be it. On the contrary, we establish the Torah. Because it's Yahweh's word. It's Yahweh's character. It's his eternal character. So if you really believe, what happens? The deed, by keeping the Torah, it's the deed that is the evidence of your faith. It's not through self-righteousness. It's because you believe in faith. And that's all Paul's trying to say. It's a covenant of faith. Not a covenant of works. The work is the evidence of your faith. But the deed is the outcome of the faith. It's not the other way around. If you don't have faith, your deed is only self-righteousness. It's that simple. Through belief in faith in Yahweh, we keep the Torah because we know that Yahweh is perfect and he said for us to do it. We don't reason why we should. We simply follow every word of Elohim, just like Abraham. Abraham, get up and walk. He got up and walked. Abraham, go and kill your son. He did it. So when we see the Torah, whether it's eat this food and don't eat that food. Whether it's, you know, go out and sanctify when your child's born for a male, keep them separated 40 days or keep the female 80 days. Whatever it is, we're not saying, well, this is the reason why we do it. It's for this health reason. It's for we do it because he said it, period. Of course, there's a reason for everything in Yahweh, but sometimes he gives us stuff just like Abraham. He gives us stuff just to test us to see if we'll follow. We don't need a reason to follow the Torah. We don't need a reason because Yahweh said it. Yahweh said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's the end of it. And that's the difference. That's the difference of the covenant of faith or the covenant by works of law. And this is what's being questioned here, period. It has nothing to do with whether we keep the Torah or not, because of course we keep the Torah. What has to do is, how do we earn our salvation? How do we earn our justification before Yahweh? Romans 7 and verse 12. Romans 7 and verse 12 says, so indeed the Torah is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The word of Yahweh is perfect in converting the soul. Everything Yahweh says is perfect. So we would never doubt that. And can you imagine? Can you imagine that Satan is so deceptive and so wicked and so clever that he can get 2 billion Christians worldwide that are actually pretty decent people and loving people. If you meet Christians, they're some of the most loving people in the world. And he could actually get them to believe that Yahweh's law is evil. And Yahweh's law is nailed to a cross and Yahweh's law doesn't have to be kept. See, imagine how evil he is. But they're not under the covenant of faith. They're not under the covenant of faith when they're doing that. Romans 6, I have a few more scriptures here and we'll finish up. Romans 6 and verse 1. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let it not be. We who have died to sin, how shall we live in it? And what is sin? The breaking of the Torah. Sin is the breaking of the Torah. Or are you ignorant that all of you were baptized into Messiah Yeshua, were baptized in his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. Because now he's living in us. And as Yeshua died for us, we are living for him and he is living within us. Drop down to verse 6. For we know this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. We're not freed from law, we're freed from sin. Drop down to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the penalty of the Torah, but under grace? Let it not be. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? So this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where you say you have faith. Let me see it. Let me see your faith. Because faith is belief. Faith is conviction. Faith is never doubting. And it's never doubting every word of Yahweh. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh. So if you're going to sit here and you're going to try to tell me that the Sabbath's done away with and we don't have to keep this and rip this page out and I don't have to wear tassels, rip this page out, then you know what? You're not under the covenant of faith. You are self-righteously picking and choosing your own religion. It's that simple. Because if you're under the faith of Abraham, you will unconditionally believe. And like he says here, because you are the servant of what you obey. Either righteousness, all thy commandments are righteousness, Psalm 119, right? Either you're under righteousness to eternal life, or you're under sin, under death. Drop down to verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, not free from Torah, not free from law, free from sin, and having been enslaved to Elohim, you have your fruit unto sanctification, the setting apart from the world, not being part of the world, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is everlasting life in Yeshua Messiah, our Master. And that's why we're not part of the religions of the world, we're not part of the governments of the world, we're not part of anything of the world. Because the world is of Satan. It's his end time system where very soon he will literally take a human body and be the God over this global system that he created. But we are to abstain from that system. And we are to be of the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. knowing no matter what happens, whether I live or I die, that I will be resurrected and I will be in that kingdom. And I believe because that's what Yahweh says. That's what Yahweh says, period. We are freed from sin, which brings wages of death, the penalty. That's what the wages of sin is. That's the penalty. Obedience of wages is only blessing. Jacob 2 and verse 14. Jacob 2 and verse 14. So now some people, you know, they almost didn't want to put the book of Jacob in the Bible because they thought it was too much into law keeping. But let's see now what Jacob says. Does it contradict what Paul says at all? Not one bit. Jacob 2 and verse 14. My brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith but does not have deeds? Is faith able to restore him to life, right? So anyone can go out there, yeah, I have faith, but there's no evidence of it. It's a false faith. It's a self-righteousness. Because people that are self-righteous, just like the Trinity, I went up to many people and I try to show them, well, explain the Trinity to me. Well, it's three, well, it's one, well, it's three, well, it's one. It's like the shell game. Find the Trinity. Is it here? Is it here? It's three. It's one. It's three. It's one. That's what it is. And they don't even know what they're talking about. And then in the end, when they see that they don't know what they're talking about, they say, well, I believe in faith. That's faith? No, that's not faith. Faith is not blind, right? Faith is evidence. It's just evidence you may not see, right? But faith is evidence. Faith is reality. Faith is substance, like it says in Hebrews 11. So, my brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith, but he does not have deeds? Is the faith able to restore him? So if your faith is only self-righteousness, that, well, yeah, I've heard people say with the name Jesus. well, I just know, and you're not going to take my Jesus away from me. Well, you can keep your Jesus, but that's not the Savior's name. In his whole life, in 32, 33 years, he walked this earth. Not once did he ever hear that name. His mother didn't call him that. His father didn't call him that. His brothers and sisters, the apostles, nobody called him that. Because it wasn't his name. There was no letter J. It's self-righteous when people are trying to hold on to lies. Is the faith able to restore him to life? Yes, real faith. You know why? Because real faith has the deed as the evidence of that faith. But if a brother or sister is naked or maybe lacking in daily food, and any one of you say to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give him the things the body needs, what is the gain? So also, faith, if it does not have deeds, if it does not have action, is dead being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. I keep the Torah because Yahweh said it, period. I'm not keeping it for any other reason. I'm keeping it in faith. I'm keeping it because it's his word and he's perfect and everything he says is perfect. And that's why. Show me your faith apart from your deeds and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that Elohim is one, Ikad. You do well. Even the demons believe, right? The demons believe it and shudder. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? Was not our father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up Isaac on the altar, right? Without faith, the deed would have simply been self-righteousness. Was not our father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up Isaac on the altar? You see how faith helped with his deeds and how by his deeds, the faith was made perfect. The deed proved that his faith was true. And the scripture was fulfilled saying, and Abraham believed Yahweh and it was counted him for righteousness and he was called friend of Yahweh. You see then how a man by his deeds becomes righteous and not by faith only? Verse 26, for as the body is dead apart from the spirit, so also faith without deeds is dead. So when the faith comes first, when you're doing the deed because of your belief in Yahweh, then the deed is the evidence of your faith. It's that simple. But the deed can't come without the faith or it's simply self-righteousness. So Jacob is not, we just read Galatians, we just read Romans. There's nothing we read here that contradicts anything the Apostle Paul said. The deed is the evidence of our faith. There is no contradiction. Many talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. The Apostle Paul and Jacob are saying the same thing. Forgiveness of sin and eternal life is a free gift. but one must show faith in Yahweh and Yeshua to accept this gift, to enter the covenant of faith, the new covenant with them. And the deed they do is the requirement and evidence of the faith to entering the new covenant. You have to believe. You have to believe that Yeshua died for your sins. That's faith. You have to believe it. And if you believe it, then you're going to follow the things he told us to do. Last scripture, we're going to go in here. Romans 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh, right? So everybody is a sinner. We know that. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Messiah Yeshua. There's nothing you can do to earn that justification. Only by the shed blood of Yeshua and his free gift can we be justified. Whom Yahweh set forth as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood, right? Through the faith, the belief in his blood, as a demonstration of his righteousness through remission of our sins that are past and the forbearance of Elohim. For a demonstration of his righteousness in the present time, for his being just and justifying the one that is of the faith of Yeshua. Then where is the boasting? Where is the boasting? You can't boast from anything you're doing because you're only doing it because of the Spirit in Yahweh that's giving you the faith to do it. There's no boasting. There's no saying, I've earned this, I've rewarded it. Of course not. It's by the grace of Yahweh, and what you do in faith is only because the Holy Spirit is inspired. Where is the boasting? It is not there. Through what law? Of works? No, through a law of faith. Then we conclude a man to be justified by faith without the works of the law, without the animal sacrifices and the things that you have to do to redeem yourself. Or is he the Elohim of Jews only? And not also of the nations? Yes, of the nations. Since it is one Elohim who will justify circumcision, right, the Israelites, by faith, and uncircumcision through faith, the Gentiles, the nations. Do we then nullify the Torah through faith? Through our beard, on the contrary, we establish the Torah. We establish it in faith, right? And it's the faith that we're accounted righteous, not by our deeds, because our deeds to Yahweh are like filthy rags, it says in Isaiah. It literally says like a woman's menstrual cloth. That's what our deeds are to him. Because our deeds have only brought death. So if he puts his Spirit in us, and his Spirit changes our mind, and by his Spirit living in us, his Spirit is doing all these good works, then where is the boasting? You can't boast. It's his Spirit doing it in us, and we're doing it because of faith in him and our belief. You cannot earn your salvation as all have already sinned and earned death. Because if our work deed was not done out of faith, then it is simply self-righteousness and pride. Only when we put full faith in Yahweh do we know any good work or deed that comes out of us is by his Spirit that is in us. So Hebrews 11:6, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to him should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is the covenant of faith. That is the covenant of faith that Abraham believed in. That Abraham unconditionally believed Yahweh in faith. And by that faith, the deeds that he did, like sacrificing his son or be willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac, was through faith. And we have to be the same. We have to unconditionally love Yahweh, believe in Yahweh, not put anything before him, any idol before him, leave everything on his altar, and to trust that whatever happens, whatever is the outcome, we have to trust and believe that it's for our good. We have to trust and believe that if Yahweh allowed it, then it has to be for our benefit some way and for our purification. That is faith. That is the covenant and the faith of Abraham. And that is the faith we need to enter his kingdom. Yahweh bless. Haksameach.